Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, our Lord. Please give us open ears and open hearts tonight. Amen. Have you ever forgotten the really basic things of life when you've been busy? You know, you're busy at work, so you fly into the kitchen, you make a cup of tea, and then you have to reheat it 4 or 5 times until you can actually drink it. No? Maybe that's just people with children. Maybe you're so busy at work that you forget to eat lunch. It gets to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and all of a sudden you realize you're starving and you could eat a goat. Again, maybe that's just me. I love goat. Maybe a really easy one. Rushing to get out the door in the morning. You're rushing. You're going so fast and you forget to do one of the most basic and important things. Putting on deodorant. And then a little later in the day, when the mercury hits 43, you realize, wow, somebody really stinks today. Oh, wait, it's me. When we're busy, it is easy to forget the basic things in life. It's no different for Christians. We can be busy doing so many things at church, coming to Crest, serving in ministry, just getting family here on a Sunday, being in or leading a Bible study, serving supper after church. We can be doing so many things that we forget what Christianity is about. We can even get distracted thinking some of the deeper thoughts about Christianity. You know, thinking about difficult doctrines like predestination or Jesus, what Jesus says on divorce and homosexuality, we can think these deeper thoughts and forget what's important in our walk as Christians. Tonight, as we see the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we're going to be reminded of what is important. And tonight we're going to see the two back to basics of the Christian life. The two things that we need to go back to basics and remember. And tonight, I want to encourage you to remember the basics of the gospel. To be encouraged that no matter what happens, don't move away from the foundational things of the gospel. We're at the start of Matthew's gospel. Everything so far has been background work leading up to this point. Jesus' birth was brought about by God to fulfill prophecy. John the Baptist came along. And he prepared the way for Jesus. He preached a gospel of repentance. And then Jesus came to him and John baptized Jesus. And then, as we saw earlier in our service, Jesus is whisked away by the Holy Spirit and Jesus is tempted and tried in the desert. The path has been prepared, the groundwork laid. Now Jesus has all his qualifications from God lined up. There is just one last step before he begins his ministry. Have a look at verse 13 with me. Matthew is quoting from a prophecy from Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus deliberately moves to Capernaum to fulfill this prophecy. A prophecy that says that there is a light dawning on those who are in darkness. The Gentiles are depicted as living in the land of the shadow of death. They were cut off from God. The Gentiles had no access to God like the Jews. They're living in their sin and they would die in it. But a light has dawned which would bring hope of salvation from darkness. At the very beginning, as Jesus is about to step out into ministry, the prophecy from Isaiah points to Jesus' purpose. He is going to deal with people who are dead in the shadow of death, and he will bring salvation. Now that Jesus has been prepared, he's done the last step, he's moved to Capernaum, Jesus can now set out in ministry. And in verse 17, it gives us a condensed version of Jesus' preaching. Have a look with me, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus picks up just where John had left off. John had been arrested not long before this because He had been telling people to repent. Stop sinning, turn back to God. In particular, John the Baptist called Herod out to stop sleeping with his brother's wife. The potential arrest or political backlash doesn't stop Jesus from preaching the same message. Repent, Jesus says. And it's grounded on one simple and compelling reason. The kingdom of heaven is near. God is intruding into this world. You need to get on board with his plan. Turn your back, turn away from your rebellion, turn to God. God's rule is coming, so repent. For some of us here today, you may not have ever admitted that you're doing anything wrong. You may not have admitted that God actually wants you to turn back and follow his ways. Tonight is a good night to consider this, because Jesus is God come as a man whose death on the cross has paved a way for life, the only way to have life. Now, for many of us, we probably heard the call to repentance years ago. Maybe we turned away from our sinful past and we've been following Jesus for a while. But we need to be reminded of this simple gospel truth. This is the first back to basics of the Christian life. Repent. Jesus, in the final book of the Bible, Revelation, speaks to a church in Ephesus, and he gives them a strong warning and some encouragement. Let me read. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, but you... And you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. The church in Ephesus was one of the most faithful of the churches. They've been enduring faithfully, and yet Jesus warns them, you have drifted. You have moved away from what you first believed. Come back to me. We need to heed this warning to the Ephesian church. Don't abandon Jesus. Don't gently drift off to the side of the path following Jesus. Repent. Turn back to him. This call cuts through the busyness of the Christian life, the many distractions. Hear afresh Jesus' call. Turn away from your sins. Turn to Jesus. Repent, because the kingdom is still near. It is at hand. I've been watching a bit of the cricket recently, mainly because it's a historic occasion. It's the first day-night test. I don't know. It could already be over. But it's the first time they're using a pink ball. It's novel. Yes, it's exciting. But it made me think of the new DRS system. If you don't know what this is the decision review system, where the cricket captain gets to review the decision of the umpire. He says, I want to change the decision. He pleads often. Come on, that was definitely out. And so what he does is he'll do this motion. He'll make a T or some kind of motion. And that says, I want to go to the third umpire. I want another source. I want you to review your decision because I want you to change it. He hit the leather off that ball. Look, there's pieces of leather lying on the ground right here. He was definitely out. Review your decision. Jesus is not too dissimilar to that cricket captain. He's walking with us saying, really? You're going to do that? You're going to get to spend your money on that? You're going to flirt with that girl in the office? You're going to shout and abuse your wife? You're going to harass and abuse your brother and sister when your parents aren't home? Review your decision. Turn back to me. What do you need to repent from? If Jesus was to appear as the captain of your life and call you to review your decisions, what would it be for? What does Jesus want you to change your mind about? Jesus starts his preaching ministry, calling people to repent, to turn back to God. Because repentance is not just the start of the Christian life, it's where we keep going. Matthew grandly has introduced us to Jesus in light of prophecy and in light of this cosmic importance of the kingdom coming. And then Matthew, the author, brings us down to a very mundane and ordinary situation. God's purposes break into every life where we see Jesus having a stroll along the sea. Have a look at verse 18 with me. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." We find out that these men, Peter and Andrew, have a trade. They're fishermen. And the fact that we get to know a little bit about them prepares us for a change that's going to happen. Jesus calls them to come and be his disciples. And now, usually this was the other way around. A disciple would pick their master to follow. They would pick a rabbi. They might see someone like Matt West and think, "Matt West, that guy, he's a sharp drummer. I want to be his disciple. I want to follow him." "Oh, hang on a second, James West. He's pretty skillful. He can sing and play keys and play guitar. Maybe I'll follow him." And then maybe they keep looking around and they finally see the superior West, Andrew West, and think, "He can do all those instruments, but he's also theologically trained. That's the guy I want to follow." Jesus flips this whole system on its head, and he calls people to follow him. He chooses people to follow him directly. And he gives them a promise, an obligation. "I will make you fishers of men." Now, this isn't some obscure promise about making them great salespeople or something, able to reel someone in. It's a metaphor. Fishers of men is about pulling people out of damnation into salvation. At this point in history, the sea is viewed as a chaotic beast that man can't tame. So when Jesus walks on the water, it's a sign that he is God. He has control over what is chaotic. And here, pulling people out of the ocean, it's a view of salvation. Pulling people into salvation. At the start of Matthew, it was said about Jesus that he would save people from their sins. And now Jesus is calling others to the very same ministry. Jesus will make them like himself. Jesus calls these men with a good trade, equipment, a living, to a new life. And their response, it's astounding. At once or immediately, they left their nets and followed him. There is no reason why they left. It just says immediately or at once. And this highlights the impressiveness of the one who makes the call. Jesus' promise and call that he will make them fishers of men, men who will be like Jesus, who save people, is an irresistible call. Jesus keeps walking and he sees two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending nets. And Jesus does the same call to them, presumably. And their response is the same as Peter and Andrew. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Not only do the brothers James and John leave their livelihood like Peter and Andrew, they actually leave their father and their inheritance, a boat. In a culture where your job was whatever your father's job was, to walk away from some significant responsibilities is again astounding. Jesus calls people to himself to become his followers, and they respond. When you're at work and your boss asks you to do something, you show you value your job and you respect your boss by responding quickly. You know, when your mum asks you to take out the rubbish, and you say, "Yes, I will do it right now," just after this bit of TV at the next ads, you know, that shows how you respect this person in charge, this boss. You know, if Matt asked me to preach, let's just imagine there was a Christmas school scripture seminar on Wednesday. If Matt asked me to preach it And I said, yeah, sure, Matt, not a problem. I'll probably get to it by Thursday or Friday, maybe. You might not see me around again. You know, Matt's a nice guy and all, but if I didn't acknowledge his position and respond, it might not go well for me. When Peter, Andrew, James, and John respond to Jesus' call, they're acknowledging Jesus' position, his authority to make a call. They're saying, I'm going to follow you. You are worth following. The first back to basic of the Christian life we saw was that we need to keep repenting. The second back to basic of the Christian life is that we are called to follow Jesus. How we respond to Jesus' call to follow him shows what we really think about him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John stopped immediately what they were doing, and they left all they had behind to follow Jesus. Are you still responding to Jesus' call to follow him today? Jesus' call to us is similar, and yet it is different to the call for the disciples. Jesus doesn't necessarily call us to leave our jobs, but he does call us to a radical life. Jesus doesn't necessarily call us to leave our parents behind, but he does call us to change our priorities, no longer putting family first, but responding to the call of Jesus. Jesus does call us to become fishers of men. After Jesus' resurrection, at the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus calls his disciples and us to go out to the nations and make disciples. After this calling of the first couple of disciples, Jesus goes through Galilee proclaiming the same message, and he heals every disease and affliction. His fame spreads so much that crowds followed him everywhere. If you remember the list, let me just have a look at the list of places. There was a sizable list of different places of people that followed him. From verse 24, news about him spread all over Syria. And verse 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. These are all wildly different places with different people and different customs. And yet, Jesus' call cuts across all of them. His message of repentance and calling people to follow him is a universal message. But we know that these people only followed Jesus for a short time. He was able to gain such a large crowd because he said some amazing radical things and he did some phenomenal miracles that people could see. It was definitely enough to get a cult following. But for most of these people, they were sunny day followers. They followed Jesus when everything was going his way. As soon as Jesus started copping some flack from the political powers like Pilate, Jesus' popularity with the crowds quickly soured. And they not just left him, but they actually began to call for his crucifixion. It's easy to follow the Lord when all is going well in life. It is another when the days are tough. Are you still following the Lord? Or have you drifted off the path? Is he still the one who makes the call every day? Or has the decision of the one who matters most gone by the wayside? It's easy to tell when you ignore your mum. You know, the garbage is still sitting there. The bin juice is slowly leaking out onto the carpet. You'll quickly hear about it if you don't do anything about it. It's easy to tell. It's easy to tell if I ignored Matt. I just wouldn't have turned up to the scripture seminar. I probably would have gotten in some kind of trouble from him. But we can hide when we're not following the Lord. At least it's easier to hide away from others. Maybe we pretend we're really a better Christian than we are. You know, we can go to Crest, we can go to Bible study, we can keep coming to church and hide and pretend that everything is fine. When you haven't picked up a Bible in a while, you haven't actually heard from God or prayed to him in months. You can hide whether you're actually following the Lord. But don't fool yourself, because Jesus can't be fooled. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you of where we have come from. Without Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection, we are in the region and shadow of death. It is coming for us, creeping ever closer. And he called on the people then, and he calls on us today to repent, to continually repent, to turn away from doing things our way, and to willingly place yourself at Jesus' feet, following him. It can be deadly to get the basics wrong in life. Will you get them right this week? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a loving and generous and gracious God, that you haven't left us in the shadow of death, but that your Son has brought us from death to life. Father, help us today and every day to repent and to follow your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.